You know, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. And remember, Jesus is the reason for the season. And so there's no better place to shop this Christmas season than at KGOV.com. Go to KGOV.com, click on the store, and take advantage of a special discount on a variety of Bob Enyart products, apologetics, Bible studies, both audio and video, Bob's amazing debates, teachings on the New Testament, the Old Testament, parenting, pro-life resources, and of course, Bob's tremendous resources on science, now throughout the Christmas season at KGOV.com.
There's truth of ahead. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob in your life.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob in Your Life. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. You may have heard of the Christian doctor, medical doctor Paul Church, who was fired from Harvard's Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center in Boston because he warned about, the dangers of homosexual behavior. Here on Bob and Yurt Live, for 25 years now, we've been warning people on the most powerful radio station in Colorado that in the public square, Christianity and homosexuality are mutually exclusive. One or the other will be in the closet. So the homosexual replies, no, really, we just want to be left alone. Oh, yeah, and you better bake us a cake or we'll sue you. And cookies or else, and make us a bouquet of flowers and on, always with some type of a legal threat or with the strong arm of a corporation or an institution threatening to fire the Christian if he doesn't toe the line. And so we now have the honor of speaking with a modern-day hero, a medical doctor, a Christian hero, who did not cave into the homosexual agenda. He is that very doctor, Dr. Paul Church from Boston. Dr. Church, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Thank you, Bob. It's a pleasure to be on your broadcast today with you and your listeners in Denver. Hope to swing through your lovely city sometime later in ski season.
Well, that would be just great. One of our seven boys went snowboarding this weekend, and it's already fabulous.
Excellent. The conditions, good to hear that.
Yeah, the conditions are great. So, Dr. Church, when you do come by, I mean, the slopes are way more interesting than our radio studio, but if you have an extra hour, you could stop by. We're right off the highway, off of I-70 from the airport up to Keystone or Vail or wherever you're going to go. And we'd love to have you in studio. We could record another program.
I appreciate the invitation. I'll try to seize on that when the time arrives.
Well, thank you. That'd be wonderful. You have been a guest recently on another talk show that we admire. I've been on with Dr. Michael Brown on occasion. And so I had the opportunity to hear that. So did my producer, Larry Wolf. And we were moved by your commitment to tell the truth. And so if we could discuss your situation as a doctor in Boston, and I'd sort of like to begin maybe out of chronological order with the gag rule, because I think the gag rule that was put on you by the hospital administration might help us get right into the story.
Well, that's probably true. In 2011, the hospital, as part of its promotional broadcast on the email system, put out an invitation to participate in a video that they were going to produce for the LGBT community. Of course, LGBT is lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender. And I politely responded to the person that was listed as the contact person that I would be delighted to give a view from the other side about some of the health risks involved with the lifestyle. Mm. I thought it was the most politely worded way of trying to get a foot in the door. Following that, though, I was accused of humiliating them by the innuendo. It's
the innuendo that there might be a health risk regarding homosexual behavior.
Yes, I was called on the carpet, sort of a secret meeting in my chairman's office, invitation to resign quietly. And I was flabbergasted. I just couldn't believe that this was happening. And it prompted an investigation that was conducted by people that are my peers that I frankly thought would be very understanding about the risks I was concerned about. But, I mean, in the classic political correctness run amok, I was reprimanded, and part of that reprimand was to not ever say anything about my views on homosexuality to staff, leadership, guests, visitors. I mean, it was kind of a blanket gag order.
Yeah, and now let me understand this. You weren't an undergrad at Harvard. You were an adult, right?
Oh, yeah, very much so.
You're an
adult. I'm now 66. This is 2011.
Yeah, you're a professional.
I've been on the staff for, you know, more than 20 years at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of mulled this over. A reprimand is a slap on the wrist, but it does get reported. And, you know, I showed it to some of my attorneys, and it just didn't seem right that this was a violation of my civil rights, frankly, to speak out.
Well, and also as a doctor, if you need to warn your patient about behavior they're engaging in that's destructive, would that have fallen under the gag rule?
Yeah, it probably would. And I mean, that's the hypocritical part of this, that we can probably counsel patients about a number of other unhealthy behaviors like smoking and excessive alcohol, et cetera, but... Mm. We dare not say anything about a lifestyle that carries equally or arguably higher risks from a medical standpoint.
Mm. On a separate, not maybe tangentially related note, here in Denver, I've recently had conversations with a psychologist and a psychiatrist, both about their patients' mental illness and marijuana. And the psychologist said, oh, I'm all for legalizing marijuana. And I asked, well, what percentage of your mental health patients are smoking pot? And he said, well, all of them. All of them. And the psychiatrist said his job has become like he files paperwork with the state for his patients to get marijuana. And even though he thinks it's a danger to them and it's exacerbating their mental illness, the political correctness is incredibly severe. So, So you were a victim of this in another city regarding another form of behavior. You're a urologist. Could you tell us about your background?
Well, so I've been a urologist for almost 35 years. 28 of them have been in Boston. Urologists see probably at least two-thirds males as opposed to females, and we deal with urinary issues of men and women, but the reproductive male tract as well. So I was struck by male patients that I was seeing that were coming down with HIV and AIDS in the late 80s and early 90s when the epidemic was at its height before the advent of antiviral agents in 1996, I think it was.
Right. So now today, to make that clear, there's still a terrible problem of the spread of HIV. These drugs and these cocktails of drugs, they are helping people survive with this illness.
Yeah, you know, thankfully that's the case, but it's still a serious chronic disease. And statistics would show that more than half of the people living with HIV are from this 2% group of men who have sex with men, male homosexuals, in other words. Mm-hmm. And two-thirds of the new cases of HIV are coming out of that group. And so clearly they are engaging in high-risk behaviors, and HIV is not a nice disease to have, regardless of its ability to be better controlled now.
Sure. And so you have a hospital which ostensibly is concerned with public health, but it seems to me, I've been hosting a talk show here in Denver for a quarter of a century, and it seems that because Jesus said that God made us male and female, this issue of homosexuality has become a celebration, because really it's an effort to reject the teachings of Jesus Christ. And if the culture, if children in our schools accept that homosexuality is good, well, then that sort of inoculates them against the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it seems like you are a casualty in that battle to discredit the scriptures, discredit God's word.
Well, I think I am, in as much as the final trigger for this was my posting Bible verses as comments to some of their promotional material. I'm thinking, you know, what can I put down here that is, you know, a universal truth? If people have an issue with this, they really need to take it up with God, not with me.
Right.
But now, quoting the Bible can be offensive to people and punishable by expulsion from the medical staff, is what I've discovered. So you dare not quote the Bible if somebody finds it offensive.
Well, it's hate speech, and that makes sense because the truth is hate to those who hate the truth. And so if Jesus reveals to us he's our creator and our savior and our judge, if he reveals to us that God made us male and female, then that's hated today. And I would expect that the hospital there in Boston, Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center, I would expect that they would want people to believe that gender is a choice and that homosexuals are born that way. And let me just repeat that a moment for the audience to try to comprehend how upside down and absurd everything's become, that our culture is teaching us that gender, like whether you're a boy or a girl, a man or a woman, male or female, that gender is a choice, but that homosexuals are born that way. That is an extraordinary determination to reject reality in favor of your ideology.
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, nothing seems more obvious than whether someone is a male or a female. There are, you know, rare exceptions with what's called ambiguous genitalia.
Oh, sure.
And unfortunate infants that are born with problems. But
sure.
Yeah, society is now moving in this direction that, you know, everything is relative, including gender.
Mm-hmm. Dr.
So
Church,
it's disappointing. I mean, especially in a hospital that has its roots in a primarily Jewish culture, Beth Israel, and a Christian culture, which was New England Deaconess, and the namesake is still on the hospital's, you know, letterhead, yet they completely reject the notion that there are biblical truths and that these kinds of scriptures are potentially offensive to members of the staff.
Right. We have here in Denver, University of Denver, DU, we were on the campus. We had a tent set up for the last election cycle for presidential debate. And we talked to hundreds, maybe 1,000 students in a two-day period. Three students came up to our booth, our pro-life Colorado Right to Life booth, two guys and a gal. And they were two guys and a gal. So we were talking about right and wrong, about God, about the unborn child. And I said, just in passing, I said, well, you're a guy. And the guy who's he's a guy. He said, how dare you say that to me? I said, what do you mean? He said, you said I'm a guy. I said, well, you are a guy. And he was, at least he pretended to be actually offended. And he wasn't effeminate. He wasn't a homosexual. And obviously, I knew he had a Y chromosome because I have X-ray vision because I'm a superhero.
The insanity of what's going on.
Right.
The insanity of what's happened to me is I'm saying that, well, you know, maybe there's something wrong with sodomy and high risk behaviors, and you know, I'm the problem now.
Right.
I'm the villain.
Right.
It's bizarre, and when people hear this story, I mean, they're usually outraged, and the internet's just, you know, full of articles about this. 99% of them in favor of supporting me, and it seems to have fallen on deaf ears at the administration.
Well, right. It simply doesn't matter. Here in Colorado, you might not be aware of this. The media has not reported this hardly at all. We passed a law back in 2008 that said it is prohibited to publish any book, pamphlet, broadcast, any communication that would tend to discriminate against cohabitation or homosexuality. And I mean, there are plenty of Dr. Michael Brown, who we mentioned earlier. He wrote a tremendous book about homosexuality in America.
Oh, sure. It's a queer thing happened to America. I recommend it to anybody that wants a detailed chronology
yes.
of how we got in this fix.
So even though our government here, our state government, has not chosen to enforce that law yet, thankfully, but it is coming, that book would be against the law to sell in Colorado.
Mm.
And I dare say somebody might read 1 Timothy or Romans in the New Testament or Corinthians and get a sense that it sort of sounds like it would discriminate against homosexuality. And so even to that level, and the ACLU here in Colorado, we contacted them, asked them to help to oppose this censorship bill. I mean, it literally is a government censorship bill. It states it shall be prohibited to publish. And then it presents the whole bill. And the ACLU refused to oppose the bill because their rebellion against God is more significant to them than free speech, of course.
Well, this is the new fascism, I think, which is such an unfortunate development in our country that, you know, was founded on freedom of speech and freedom of ideas. But now you have to have politically correct speech, and if you don't, you're going to be punished.
Well, the people who have forced you out of the hospital, aren't they like the beautiful people who believe in tolerance and diversity and free speech? And
one-way tolerance.
One way, right? So they're not tolerant of your free speech.
Of course not.
Or of your diversity.
Not if it offends someone. Mm. Being offended is now the one right. Everyone has the right not to be offended, apparently. Mm. And if you say something that offends them, that trumps everything else.
What is the relationship there between the hospital, Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center, and Harvard University?
Well, there's a loose affiliation where, you know, they have their students and their residents and so forth. I did sort of take on the Harvard Medical School years ago when they had a coming out party for their homosexual students, and I was demonized at that time for writing a letter to the deans about the fact that I thought this was inappropriate. So I've engaged other institutions along the way, including the American Medical Association, which has 35 policies the last time I checked that have something to do with LGBT issues. Almost none of them have anything to do with medicine. There's things like supporting or overthrowing the don't ask, don't tell
right.
part of the military.
The military, right.
And supporting same-sex adoption by same-sex couples. I mean, what is the American Medical Association doing, you know, putting its seal of approval on some of these issues, other than they're being forced to do that by political correctness and by activists that are working within the organization?
Mm-hmm. The American Psychiatric Association, I'm looking at our own website, kgov.com/homosexuality, And they actually, even though they're so intensely biased, they actually state on their website, quote, "To date, there are no replicated scientific studies supporting any specific biological etiology for homosexuality." Now that's a $2 word, but they're saying there's simply no reproducible scientifically proved way for developing homosexuality. There are studies of twins where identical twins do not have the incidence of, if one twin is a homosexual, the high percentage that's expected of the other twin. And the claims from years ago, a doctor, Simon LeVay, who said that it was the hypothalamus, and that was celebrated in the brain, and that was never reproducible because it wasn't true. So we have a behavior that is extremely destructive, physically, socially, psychologically, and spiritually, but it's sacrosanct in our culture.
Yeah, and I mean, there's evidence that, you know, genetics may factor into a number of personality disorders and problems, but that doesn't make them desirable. I think probably there's more evidence regarding that in alcoholism, but that doesn't make it desirable to promote them to be people to become alcoholics.
Well, sure. So could you discuss a bit, since we don't frequently have a medical doctor on the program, the health effects of the homosexual lifestyle? Obviously, people are all different, and so, but generally speaking, the homosexual community, what are the health effects of the celebration of this lifestyle?
Well, among men who have sex with men, which are the male homosexuals, sodomy is sort of the sine qua non of their behaviors. And they're known to be promiscuous, and the idea of monogamy and male homosexual relationships is kind of a myth. So the promiscuity leads to spread of disease and high-risk behaviors, taking risks. The rectum is particularly prone to transmission of HIV, more so than even intravenous drug use, if you look at the statistics. Mm. And therefore, the minor traumas that occur with this kind of physical intercourse are more prone to spread both HIV and other STDs, sexually transmitted diseases. There's a host of other things with parasitic infections and what's called gay bowel disease and anal warts, which are caused by human papillomavirus, and that can lead to anal cancer. There's a lot of statistics about the increase in psychiatric problems among homosexuals, and they tend to blame it on the guilt that society has associated with it over the years, but actually, I mean, there's, I think, plenty of evidence that shows that that's not the case, and that there's underlying psychiatric problems to begin with.
Well, it's
fundamental. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, right. It's fundamentalist Christians who are mocked at every turn by the culture, and homosexuals who are celebrated. So that argument they should have given up on that argument 15 years ago. But they haven't. So, yeah, they obviously, it's a victim mentality to blame others for your own destructive behavior. But so there's a host of medical problems that are exacerbated by this lifestyle. And it's, and among men, you mentioned promiscuity. You know, God made us male and female. And there's something about when you take the woman out of the equation of intimacy, then men, for the most part, they don't need a commitment. They don't need a relationship. They just need a place. Two men meet each other and they're homosexuals. The main thing they need to make that happen is to have a place, somewhere to do this.
And that place can be semi-public. I mean, there are plenty of instances where this occurs in public laboratories.
Oh, well, sure. We here at Bob and Yurt Live, one of our listeners called in, a news director at a network local TV news affiliate, was arrested for having sex in a public place. And his whole newsroom, they were trying to cover it up. And so we did our best to get the corporation to, well, long story short, he was eventually fired. But there's an epidemic of an effort to make even sex a public phenomenon. The gay pride parades that your hospital promoted, were they like dignified events where people were marching for human rights? Is that what they were?
They were sordid, vulgar events with sadomasochistic leather groups that included a man with a leash around his neck being led by another man in high heels with a whip.
Oh, yeah, whips and
anti-Christian
chains.
Anti-Christian groups that had offensive signs that were mocking Christianity and especially the Catholic Church.
Right.
These are hardly things that a hospital should be endorsing and encouraging people to go to.
Right, but the more vulgar, the vulgarity of it all is irrelevant because of the goal of it all. You know, like the Bible says that God made us in his image and likeness, and therefore abortion is wrong. So because the culture hates God, they love abortion. When Jesus said that God made us male and female, because the culture hates him, therefore they love homosexuality. So all of this, the behavior, the emotional devastation of homosexuality and drug abuse, the health effects, it's all irrelevant to the real goal of rebelling against God. That's our assessment here, Doctor. I don't know how you assess the bottom line of why this has happened to you, but that's our assessment.
Well, I wouldn't argue with that. I make no secret about the fact that I'm a born-again Christian, and that even if these were the healthiest activities in the world, we would still be opposed to them because it's not part of God's design.
Because it's wrong. Dr. Church, Dr. Paul Church, we're out of time. Could you real quick give us a website real quick to keep in touch with you?
Sure. MassResistance.org
has
chronicled the story the best.
Well, we'll link to their website and their article about you, one of them. Thank you so much, Dr. Church. What an honor.
My pleasure. Thank you.